When the Chicago Bears decide they want to have drama, they go big with the drama. It's like we don't hear about the Bears, or things are just devolving, imploding, and you've got players now, Perloff, who apparently went to the head coach complaining about the offensive coordinator, who was fired yesterday, Shane Waldron. But not only that, according to reports by guys in Chicago, Chicago Radio, Mark Silverman, there were also veteran players who went to the head coach to ask that Caleb Williams be benched in favor of backup Tyson Bagent.
Wow. They really got it under control there in Chicago.
Yeah.
This is going to be harsh, but every player who went up to front office and advised on Caleb Williams, I would cut them after the season and say, like, listen, you don't understand what's going on here. Yeah. This is a process. Goodbye. You're a loser. You're a loser. You're a loser. Not a single player on this team has won anything. Who are they to go to the coach and fire the offensive coordinator? Like, tell me, I know DJ Moore is a good player, but he hasn't won he barely won a game in the NFL, let alone anything in the playoffs. So I don't want to hear it. That's such a bizarre team to go to the coach.
Well, by the way, we don't know if it was him.
I just picked him because he's the best player. He's the only good player.
Well, they said veteran players, and not so. Who knows, right? We could start looking. What does veteran mean? Does 3 years, four? Is it like the Keenan Allen types who have been around for a little bit longer?
Don't
know.
But there's not a single player. Name a player who has a leg to stand on there. Keenan Allen is very clearly physically washed from this game of the NFL. Like, that was a mistake. Right. We had expectations for the Bears. Like, we were very cautious about Keenan Allen because everyone knows he gets hurt all the time. And guess what? He's got hurt all the time.
Of course. And that was one of those where it's like, oh, in theory, this feels like it's adding. But, you know, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze are really the bigger targets, of course. But it's not really the question about who went there, although that's fair. Yeah. If you were a guy who went and said, we need to bench Caleb Williams, you're really aligning with the wrong side of this thing. Like, Caleb Williams isn't going anywhere with Chicago. They will change coaches two more times before Caleb Williams is even a sniff of being on the hot seat, okay? This is not a Bryce Young situation. He will get multiple chances. This is more like a Trevor Lawrence thing, where Trevor Lawrence will have as many coaches as they think necessary. It will never be the quarterback's fault here. That's the kind of power that I believe Caleb Williams has in the organization. It's all about he's the son and everyone's revolving around him. So you're right about that. If you went to complain about Caleb Williams, you are basically maybe writing your ticket out of town. But the one thing about what's going on right now with the Bears is whether or not the expectations that we put on them were right or wrong. And I think that's where you and I don't see this Bears thing totally on the same page. Mm. They're 4-5.
Right.
They're not 0-9.
Right.
They have yet to play an NFC North game. So you're wondering, like, you wish you could have stacked a few wins here in against the Patriots and against Washington and against maybe some of the more quote-unquote beatable teams.
Right.
Although Washington is good. But Arizona was the other one. But is this really a 5-alarm fire? You can fire Matt Eberflus at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to be shedding tears for Flus and the rest of the guys.
Right. Our expectation was that there's a good chance Matt Eberflus might not be part of this.
But there was you're right. But there was also an expectation that this could be a fringe playoff team.
Yes. Guess what? They are a fringe playoff team.
But are they?
Well, here's what everyone said, and I said it. Their schedule was so unbelievably easy that they have a chance to sneak in as a wild card. And it's worth it. They were 4-4 entering a home game against the New England Patriots. New England Patriots' chances of winning a game on the road 3 weeks ago, we would have said were as close to zero as possible. So everything had worked out exactly as we thought it was. Their schedule was a joke. And they, just like last year, they beat some bad teams. So, like, I don't think they're that far off anybody's expectations. Like, we thought they'd be maybe 9-8, 10-7 by beating bad teams. No one thought they were going to beat up the Lions and the Packers.
Right, and so it looked bad against New England. But if the expectations are actually in line with what they thought before the season started, then why is the sky falling? Because everyone's getting canned. And I feel bad for saying that. These are real people with real lives and real families. But this is just, it feels like the storm clouds have already formed, and everyone's just waiting, you know, for Matt Eberflus to just basically say, all right, like, drag me out of town. You know, this is it.
I mean, I would think that, but that's
this is going down as a disaster of a year for Caleb Williams. Does it deserve to be labeled that way?
Probably, yes. But here's the thing. Eberflus was on the hot seat coming into the year. I mean, it was Dennis Allen 1. Eberflus was 2 or 3. So it was, I understand what you're saying. Like, it was a Yes, we said they might make the wild card, but there's just as good a chance that they don't and Matt Eberflus gets fired.
Right. I just think you don't like the roster. And I think that's not right. I don't think that's in line with what we were talking about preseason.
Let's talk about last year.
Yeah.
At the trade deadline, they trade for Montez Sweat, good player, Washington.
Yep.
They trade a second round pick for him. And you know why they did it? Because they could barely get to their salary floor. And they're like, if we don't trade for this guy who's about to become a free agent, then he's not going to sign with us because nobody wants to be here. So, and then they made a couple splashy moves this offseason. And I think I overestimated them. Generally, this roster is really weak. This is a losing, the core of this team is rotten. And it was last year. We knew that. We're like, God, the team around Justin Fields is not very good. They're just like not super talented. I mean, that's the reality. Their offensive line is really young, happens to be injured. And they, I don't know, like their defense is not like the monsters of Midway by any means. They're okay. They're pretty good. Eberflus is a really good defensive coach. Well, who on this roster is blowing you away?
Well, they were 4-2 heading into the bye.
Yes.
And I think that the trades for Montez Sweat, which by the way, like kind of turned around the defense.
He really had
a major impact. I think the trade for DJ Moore was, you know, hailed as a coup. There wasn't even a thought to pay him. Basically, we saw in Hard Knocks, they just handed him a contract, $100 million one day in practice. He was like, oh, that's a nice Tuesday. Not like CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk, Ayuk, who had to sweat this thing out. It felt like they were on the upswing. And now it feels like they are plummeting down to the ground.
Well, yeah.
And I think that our expectations of them being a fringe playoff team were not wrong. They're just been, the coaching is bad. Mm-hmm. The offensive coordinator was a mistake. And to be honest, keeping Eberflus is a mistake. And this is before the season. And this is something that the Bears do all the time, which is they don't pair up their quarterback with their head coach, right? So it's the guy who drafts the quarterback, he never sticks around. Or the guy who didn't draft the quarterback doesn't stick around. They did this with Trubisky. They did this with Justin Fields. And now they're going to do it again with Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams is going to have his third offensive coordinator in 18 months if Eberflus and all the rest of them get fired. And that is just the way that you ruin or are on your way to ruining a high-end draft pick. This is the third time they've had a first-round draft pick in the last decade.
Well, I mean,
it's not going well.
You say it ruins it, but it didn't ruin Trevor Lawrence. Like, Trevor Lawrence got a new coach in his second year and had a great year and won a playoff game.
Okay, but how's that looking now?
Well,
he's
not
hurt.
Great.
So, but is that looking like the exception of the rule?
But if that happened with Caleb Williams, we'd be excited. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, you don't want to rotate coaches, but that kind of happens if you're high enough to get a generational.
Yeah.
Talent, then you might be shaky on the coaching situation. So I just say it, like all of a sudden Kyler Murray looks amazing with the Jonathan Gannon team. So I'm not sure that rotating coaches is a death knell for young quarterbacks. Kind of seems like the smart thing to do.
I mean, I think you want to avoid it if you can, because I don't have any faith that they're going to hire another guy who's going to be awesome.
I think of the Rams, they drafted Jared Goff when they had Jeff Fisher, and it didn't look great. Then they brought in Sean McVay, and boom, took off like a rocket ship. They were in the Super Bowl in a year. So I think, is a more normal scenario. Like, get the right offensive coach in there, and let's go.
Okay. What have the Bears organization done to give any Bear fan confidence that they're going to get this higher, right?
No, I mean, nothing. But
yeah, since Lovie Smith.
But that doesn't mean they
want to do another Mark Trestman?
That doesn't mean that they should stop trying. Like, I think, like, they generally, you're saying, like, don't churn through coaches.
No, I'm just saying this is how, that when you are reactive instead of proactive, this is how you ruin a shot at really getting developing a great quarterback. Because you're constantly moving and changing things up on them because of your ineptitude. Because you can't find the right person, that it ends up stunting the development of the player.
Right, I hear what you're saying. Of course, it's terrible to have multiple coaches. Like, some guys have four coaches in 4 years.
Yeah, like Alex Smith.
But generally, like the process, the way it works, if you're a high draft pick, the odds are your team churning through coaches. Eventually, you hit. I mean, Joe Burrow hit with Zach Taylor. Obviously, McVay and Goff. Like, eventually, you find, like, the fit, right? Like, that's what you have to do if Chicago.
Goff was traded to the Lions, and that was looked at as being, it's to the Lions' credit and Goff's credit that they made that look a lot better, and now they're one of the best teams in the league. But let's not forget, when that trade went down with Stafford, Goff was thought of as being a throw-in.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, generally, though, like, his, you could see, like, he improved by 200% under a new coach.
No doubt, but his stock couldn't have been lower the day that he was traded to the Lions. It's to his credit that it's back up and he's an MVP candidate.
Right, but I don't think that invalidates my argument. Like, you know, you go from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay, like, you can improve a quarterback dramatically. You're going to go from Matt Eberflus to, say, Ben Johnson, you're going to improve the quarterback dramatically. So Bears, I hate to say this, Bears fans should be patient. I wouldn't even judge what's happening this year. You said, by the way, we talked about expectations. You were pretty clear. Like, you're like, I don't like what's going on with Eberflus and the GM. Yeah, and I think a lot of people are like that. Okay, try it this year. Know that it's probably not going to work, and then really start for real next year. That's kind of where we're at.
Okay, and that's another thing where, all right, so you need next year, you need some time, right, to get a new head coach acclimated to the building and his people and with Caleb Williams. So now you're down 2 years. So now...
No. You could take off immediately. Why would you be down 2 years?
Well, no, you're just saying give them a little time.
Give them a little time. I'm saying, like, bring in, like the way Mike McDaniel fixed Tua, bring in an offensive coach and boom, you're ready to go next year.
Okay, but you're assuming things are going to go well.
Yeah, yeah. If you bring in a good offensive coach, then you can immediately improve Caleb Williams. And I really think that they have, that it's a low bar right now. Okay. I think he's going to improve dramatically with a new coach next year.
Well, I would just say this, that let's say it takes a couple growing pains and it doesn't go perfectly smoothly in year one with a new coach next year. Now you're down 2 years of Caleb Williams. After year three is generally when you decide whether or not you want to hand them $250 million. And that speeds up everything in the organization. Because if you actually evaluated and been able to evaluate the quarterback enough to give them that money. And so this is, again, this is what bad teams find themselves caught up in. And unless you really find yourself in a rocket ship, which the Bears offense has never been, but unless you find yourself in a rocket ship and you're like, oh, it's a no-brainer to pay him that money, because it wasn't a no-brainer to pay Tua, but unless it's a no-brainer to pay him, you find yourself in a tough situation. Tough situation.
I think you're way too down on what's going to happen in year two. I mean, their coaching staff and their roster can't get worse. They're going to be better next year.
You and I don't see this roster the same. I thought this was supposed to be not a terrible roster.
It's definitely not terrible.
But their
O-line's going to get a lot older. They're still going to have DJ Moore and Rome Odunze. Odunze's going to be a non-rookie. Bring in a real coach here, a real offensive coach. I think that's more the history of NFL. Like, you have a young quarterback. If you bring in the right coordinator and the right play caller, things, boom, it's like magic. That's probably going to happen. It's more likely than not. That they have, like, if they can find a way to get a Ben Johnson or somebody in there, like, it's going to work with Caleb. Don't you think? Like, he's a Ben Johnson. I watched the Lions play. I'm like, whoever's calling those plays, like, give me him. Nobody ever knows what's happening. Like, Kyle Shanahan, like, bring that type in and you can fix Caleb. You don't think so? You really think, like,
I don't think it's that easy. I think if it was that easy, everyone would do it. You know?
Everyone's trying to do it.
Well, yeah. And the Bears could be one of those that I think is more likely not to happen than to happen. If I go by their history, and I think Caleb is super talented. If they go by their history, and I think that it feels like you snap of the fingers with the Lions, but it really wasn't a snap of the fingers. They were 3-13 Dan Campbell's first year. This was a tough slog, and it wasn't a quarterback they drafted. That was already a guy who, to your point, Jared Goff, who had been with Sean McVay, who had been to a Super Bowl, and actually had some skin in the game. This is a different assignment.
No, I just think that they're... And the owners are looking at him like, why is Kevin O'Connell fixing Sam Darnold? Give me that guy. Like, we all know these offensive guys. We all know the Shanahan, McVay tree. Like, they have to try that with Caleb Williams. I guess you could get Brian Callahan and be bad, but generally, I think more often than not, like, that's how you fix a quarterback.
855-212-4227. So we've got a little drama going on, Windy City. You're welcome to weigh in on that. Any faith that the Bears are going to get this right, or more likely they get it right, more likely they ruin Caleb?
That's a great question.
Poll question?
That's a great question.
Got to be honest. That I'm kind of leading towards the going to ruin them.
Well, I mean, that would, I thought it was interesting when Schefter reported that Ben Johnson, the Lions coordinator, will not go to Chicago. I think that's because the Chicago organization is messed up at the top, right?
Definitely. We said that yesterday.
That's a concern.
The president of the organization, the guy who used to be the commissioner of the Big Ten, according to Mike Sando, the Athletic, executives say he wants so much power, they won't bring in like a big name coach. That's already, if that's true, that's already a major red flag. And here's the other thing about Ben Johnson quickly, because if you're, you know, following this stuff really closely, he's kind of like the hot coordinator name from the Detroit Lions. He like did almost like a Josh McDaniels, not to the extent of it, like what Josh McDaniels did with the Colts, where he basically, you thought he was getting the job and then he changed his mind. Like, you know, that was with Washington.
I think he was still going to interview. I don't think he had accepted the job at that point.
No, they were flying to see him, and he basically told the Washington Commanders brass to turn around and go home.
Right, but it's not like he had said, I'm taking the job and brought coordinators in and everything.
Not to the extent of Josh McDaniels. I guess I would just be a little worried, like, is this guy going to string me along? You know, does he actually want to be a head coach right now? Is he just want to be a coordinator? I don't know.
Well, regardless, like, they're not getting him because he's going to have his choice of jobs, and I don't think he's going to want to go there. I think he's going to want, if I'm a coordinator like that, like, give me the indoor stadium in the NFC South. Don't send me to Chicago. I don't want to play Jordan Love.
Do you want to go to the Saints?
I would take the Saints. Maybe, let's see. I mean, the Bucks might shake free if they lose out. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of jobs that Ben Johnson is going to have better choices in Chicago.
Interesting.
Don't you think like he'll be the number one candidate? I think he's way ahead of Belichick, Brian Flores. Like, these guys, people want Ben Johnson because of exactly the reason I said. They're looking at Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota making Sam Darnold look good. Every owner's like, fix my $60 million quarterback. That's the number one priority.
Okay, well, number one, get Penei Sewell. You know, the Lions fixed their offensive line, too. They've got three guys along the offensive line that may be Hall of Famers one day. I mean, it's not just that simple, like, hey, fix my guy. You got to fix the whole team. 855-212-4227. So, Bears, more likely to ruin Caleb, more likely to develop him into a winner. There was a lot going on last night. Klay Thompson returned to the Bay Area. Who shed a tear? Manny?
I tried, couldn't get there.
EJ, no?
Could not care less.
Oh, Manny,
I wouldn't go that far.
Cold-hearted. Perloff? Emotional over Clay?
I was so dialed in on Duke, Kentucky. There's a guy named Knipple who's a star in college basketball. Can we talk about that? That is amazing.
He's really good.
By the way, did Duke not understand that everyone's going to be gunning for Cooper Flagg? Like, Kentucky took that. Kentucky is already a good team. Yeah. So everyone's going to take the Cooper Flagg hype, and they're going to take it personally. Let's talk about that next.
Flagg killed them. He was great. But this Knipple guy, his name's Knipple. Can we just stop and talk about that? I don't know why that's not the number one story in college
basketball. There's another guy named Fiddler. Who's that? Fiddler, right? From Kansas?
Yeah.
Or from Michigan State, excuse me?
You guys are immature. You get it. Knipple.
Frankie Fiddler.
Anyway, yeah, also, too, there was a certain Sixers-Knicks game that I know people on the other side of the glass want to talk about. Does Joel Embiid know that game counted, or was he just kidding around?
Doesn't matter.
He honestly, at a certain point, I think he thought he was just playing a pickup game. Anyway, it was a fun night.
I couldn't watch that game because the court gave me vertigo.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. I don't know if it's safe from a doctor's standpoint to stare at those courts.
All right. Coming up next, we've got so much. Oh, and the 49ers are handing out contracts, apparently. Gosh, we got a lot to do today. Manny, hit the music. Let's go.
All right. Football season heating up. We got college basketball. We have NBA. So much going on. And Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching all these sports with over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings. Prize Picks made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. Maggie, I can't even look at my phone right now because I'm getting heat alerts because I'm on so much fire and Prize Picks right now. I'm in one of those zones. I'm like a baseball hitter who can see nothing but fastballs, nothing but wins for me. So anyway, I'm feeling it and I love this app. Simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on the projection. You can win up to 100 times your money.
If I get one more text from Perloff about Maction and Prize Picks...
Yeah.
Well, I love it because it sends me right to the Prize Picks app, and that's where you need to go as well because it's easy to download. All you do is pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less than the projection. You could win up to 100 times your money. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MANDP, M&P, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. There was a lot going on last night, and Maggie, you keep apologizing for disliking the in-season tournament courts because they're hard to watch. Depending on if you have a 4K TV, like the reds or something are just too red. I totally understand. I am so sorry. Like, EJ, your take from last year that this in-season tournament thing is working, once again, I resist this because Joel Embiid was playing it like it was a preseason game, joking around, saying, switch me up onto Jalen Brunson. That I just don't think in November you're going to have serious NBA games. So I will never, ever, ever buy into the in-season tournament. Not in a million years.
Okay, well, I can't go through this debate again this season. We just have to agree to disagree on this one. We're never going to see eye to eye. But I would like us to come together in these divided times to at least reach across the aisle and acknowledge that the court is hard to watch on your eyeballs.
But it's all part of the same discussion, Maggie.
No, it's not.
It absolutely is. The NBA is trying to make something different and cool. So you cannot separate the court from the whole concept of the in-season tournament.
I will say again, if you look at the games last night and how competitive they were, it would suggest that the in-season tournament does get you better basketball, which is, if that's what you're looking for, then you got it. You got it in Boston. Listen, you got it in Detroit. You got it in Golden State.
That was a couple weird endings last night. But the number one story in basketball this morning is Klay Thompson and his return to Golden State. I'm sorry. We're going to have to put Knicks 76ers aside because nobody in America cares.
Okay, you think people care about this? The Klay Thompson? Like, the Mavs are barely...
Okay.
They're not even trying yet.
So here's the thing about that game that I found the most interesting. Not just like the emotions and teary and, you know, it's so rare these days when guys play tons and tons of years in one spot that you get this kind of emotional homecoming for Klay Thompson. That's one part of it. The second part is that Steph Curry couldn't put aside being petty even for one game when it was against somebody who he combined with to win four NBA titles. He hits the go-ahead game, the go-ahead shot. Wasn't exactly the game winner, but basically. And still does the night-night. This is like your brother over there. This is about him, kind of. And then it became about you doing the night-night. And not only that, Perloff, he's saying something into the camera, and sleuths have like slow-mo'd this thing down where I think he's saying something like, you can't leave. Are they friends? Steph Curry does not get enough credit for just how petty this dude is.
Real classy.
He's like baby-faced dude and everyone classy guy. He on the court, he is not classy. That is petty, petty, petty.
Yeah, but it's a little bit harmless, right? It's not classless, is it? Is being petty the same as being classless?
Are you going to really night-night on the night when it's like Klay Thompson coming back?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Klay Thompson would have stayed. It's not like he really wanted to leave. He wanted to stay. He felt like the offer was insulting or whatever.
This is basketball, Maggie. This is competition. Once you get on those lines, there are no friends. And you talk the most crap. In fact, it's almost like wrestling where you hit the guy harder, the guys that you're friends. You actually go at them a little harder because they are your friends, because you're having fun. Like, this is exactly the kind of energy I want to see on an NBA court. I love this. Steph looked like a madman last night, which is like awesome.
Feelings.
It's November. Are you getting this kind of Steph Curry again? In-season tournament, check.
Well, I think it had something to do with Klay coming back. Come on. It had something to do with Klay coming back. And then the fact, I can't just imagine, isn't just beating him enough?
No.
Klay Thompson, EJ, it's not also like this is a natural kind of ending to his career. The guy's gone through how many torn Achilles? How many ACLs? Who knows that better than Steph Curry? The guy's trying to get back on the court, trying to find himself. He's having 0 for a million nights. He's watched him go through all this these hard times.
I'm human.
Where he leaves the organization, right? I'm sure that, you know, Draymond got extended. He doesn't have to leave. Steph's never going to leave.
Wait, how many? Has he had multiple Achilles and multiple ACLs?
Two ACLs, right?
But
two ACLs and an Achilles?
And what? And how many Achilles has he gone through? He only got two.
He's seven Achilles tears.
Yeah, I hope it's no more than two. He's got four Achilles tears. Like a certain point.
He'd be in a wheelchair, basically, how you just described him.
But isn't he?
But you said he's gone through how many ACLs and how many Achilles?
You get the
you're,
point.
You're actually not that far off, but it is funny. It's like, when you put it that way, what is that guy doing out there?
He's been gone. He was gone for like 3 years.
Well, you know what, Maggie? If we don't want Steph Curry going to the camera saying this is my ish, then Klay Thompson, don't be shimmying when you hit big threes in the fourth quarter. How about that? Because now we're talking again. This is great. This is competition. Klay Thompson, he loved the hats. He loved the Captain Klay stuff. He loved the ovations. But when he gets on the court, he wanted to beat those guys. First play of the game, what did he do? Throw the ball in the post. He's trying to pound Steph under the basket.
All right.
That's basketball.
Okay, but EJ, that's also, you can be trying to win, but the gloating of the night-night, which you did to the Celtics when you won the title, should not be reserved for one of your friends who helped you win four titles. And you want to know the other thing that it does? What it may do, and I hope it doesn't, and it won't in the Bay Area, but you know how basketball fans are? Sometimes we forget some of the details about stuff. Klay Thompson, I hope this doesn't happen, that he's going to be relegated to even more of wingman status as the years go on. Just like I bet if you ask young people today about what Scottie Pippen's role really was on the Chicago Bulls, I don't know if they really understand how important he was. And that's because Jordan takes all the oxygen, all the air. It's like it was Jordan 1-on-5.
Yeah,
and I hope that doesn't happen to Klay.
No, Klay's going to be like Ray Allen in Miami.
That was, you know, third on the list, right?
Yeah, yeah, but Ray Allen was like a 26-point-a-game scorer in Milwaukee, and then he'd be thrilled to. I mean, the truth is the Mavs don't look great, but I think he's fine being a 12-point-a-game scorer on a title contender. Okay.
I'm talking about what his legacy is going to be on those championship teams.
Right, right, right. I don't think that weakens his overall legacy if he can get another ring out of this Dallas thing. I think people know. He's 37, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't want this to go on like it was just Steph.
But you have to understand.
I don't think that will happen, though, is because even if we think about the nickname, they were a duo. They're the Splash Brothers.
Right.
Michael Jordan didn't have no nickname or no affiliation.
They called him Batman and Robin, kind of, but not really.
Even that suggests that they're not equals.
Yeah. You don't want to be Robin.
Right, exactly. We call these guys the Splash Brothers, which suggests that they're equal.
Yeah, but Mario Brothers isn't equal. No one wants to be Luigi. Doesn't mean equal.
Steph and Klay were not equal. I mean,
no,
Steph's an MVP winner and Klay is not. So,
exactly.
But
saying brothers doesn't put him on the same level.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you have to worry about his legacy. Like, everyone knows Klay's place on that team, and it was definitely second. Right. Like, there's no. So this, I think if he steals another ring out of Dallas, that's a great thing. And he's going to be a role player. He's definitely not nothing like the old Klay.
I'm not even talking about what he does now.
He's 34. I made him 37. I think Steph's almost 37. Anyway, yeah, but you said you're worried this is going to weaken his reputation a long time.
No, just that it becomes Steph and Steph. And it's Steph stayed and he's into the camera. You better not leave. Like, if Klay Thompson could have had the option to really stay, that he wouldn't have taken it.
I'm the petty king.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that,
I got you.
I think that the fact that Steph gets to stick around and he gets to decide when his career with Golden State ends puts him in a different place.
I think he is.
But that's not Klay Thompson's fault.
Yeah, but Steph is a singular thing, though. I think there is a different, a significant, like, he's like the sun in that team, kind of like Jordan was with the Bulls. So I hear what you're saying. I don't forget that Klay was such a big part of this, but the reality is, like, he wasn't Steph. That's just.
Okay.
Well, and by the way, Jordan, and I'm a big.
They do not beat the Oklahoma City Thunder without Klay Thompson.
Of course. Yeah.
Right.
But Pippen was good, by the way, but Jordan would have found another Robin because Batman doesn't need Robin that badly.
One of the 50 greatest players of all time.
I mean, come on. Come on.
He didn't do anything before the combination of Scottie Pippen.
Because he was hitting the weight room and getting ready. Like, he would have found somebody else. He would have won titles with somebody else. I mean, I don't think that's a hot take.
See?
It's a hot take.
You don't think Jordan would have found another star to pair with? I mean, they had a high draft pick. Players would have come
with guys who couldn't find the right playing partner.
Good morning. Not Michael Jordan.
But because he had Scottie Pippen.
No. Jordan would have found somebody else and eventually won.
But why didn't he win before Scottie got there?
Because he was developing physically. Like, honestly, he got stronger and stronger and stronger and better and got to become a better shooter. Like, Jordan was figuring out the game. He was 27.
It would have taken the Bulls finding someone to pair with Jordan. And it might have worked. You're right. But you also said Batman doesn't need Robin. That is the story of the NBA is there always needs a second guy. There's always a second guy.
Yeah, but you can always find the second guy. Like, it's easier to find. Yeah, you can find a Robin anywhere. Just go to any orphanage and there's a Robin.
Wait.
Facts, right? There's been a million Batman movies and Robin has like 10 different origin stories and they're all super lame.
Yeah, that Robin. But the NBA finding Robin is not that that easy.
Same dynamic, pretty much. I mean, listen, Kobe found Pau Gasol. Like, how hard is it to find a Gasol brother
somewhere? Go back to the years before he found a Gasol brother.
Yeah, it's Smush Parker.
Yeah, right. Like, just
he still catches
Smush and Kwame Brown.
There's always a Gasol brother out there. You can always find a Robin. I mean, it would have been, like, they would have kept revamping that roster to find somebody, right?
They might not have won six titles.
They might have won.
And who's the guy they kept through the first three-peat and the second? Because they did revamp the roster. The first three-peat is not the same roster as the second three-peat, except for
Mike and Scotty.
Exactly.
Right.
But, so it's not just you can find any guy. They also signed Scotty to a 100-year contract where they paid him about $50 a year. But still.
The original Shohei contract.
Yeah. It was all deferred till never.
Oh, that's his villain origin story.
Wait, let's get to some headlines. We'll put that argument to the side for a second. Good morning, folks.
Everything is sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MANDP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
That thump you might have heard last night was Georgia and Miami plummeting in the new CFP rankings. The Bulldogs going from 3rd to 12th for losing to Ole Miss, their second defeat of the season. The Hurricanes dropping from 4th to 9th for losing at Georgia Tech. Even worse for Georgia, they don't have a spot in this week's hypothetical bracket because number 13 Boise State needs a spot as the highest-ranked Group of Five champ. The list again begins with Oregon and Ohio State, with Texas and BYU getting the other first-round byes. Boise State, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Penn State, Alabama, Indiana, and Notre Dame, Tennessee would be the first round matchups.
Everyone's super happy with this, right? Like, America's rejoicing. They got it right.
Well, it's also, you know, it's like Georgia's 12th, but they're seeded. They wouldn't be seeded in the bracket. We all have our own issues with the latest rankings. Yeah. We'll do that in a little bit because we all have different teams that we're mad about.
Yeah, the fact that Georgia's out is hysterical. But they play Tennessee this weekend, so that'll fix it.
Yeah, how many top 10 wins do you need to get into the top 12 in the country? We're about to find out.
That reveal came between games of the Champions Classic in Atlanta. The nightcap was Duke-Kentucky. Cooper Flagg had 26 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 huge...
Here he goes, driving on Carr. Lost it, and always got it for Kentucky. Fouled.
Dan Shulman on ESPN. Flagg lost the handle, leading to Otega Owe's tie-breaking free throws. Then he fumbled away Duke's next possession. So Kentucky got the win 77-72. Before all of that, top-ranked Kansas down to Michigan State 77-69. Bill Self now has 591 wins with the Jayhawks. One more than Fog Allen for the most in program history. In the NBA, the Bucks did it. They didn't lose to the Raptors to open the glorious NBA Cup.
Giannis into the front court, hands it to A.J. Green. Green top of the arc back to Giannis. Giannis fakes the handoff, sends it right wing. Rollins launches from three. I guess that hand's okay. He sticks it from the right side. Ryan Rollins.
Who? Dave Kane, Bucks Radio. The NBA Cup in one season and one night. If it does anything else, it introduces to players named Ryan Rollins out of nowhere, who scored 12 points.
Loved him in the draft, by the way.
To get the Bucks this win, 99-85 over the Raptors. They're up to 3-8 on the season.
Double R? Isn't he? He's going to be Giannis's new Robin.
It's so easy. Sign him up.
Was there a Ryan Hollis?
The guy's in there. He's an announcer. He's a broadcaster. He's awesome.
He's a broadcaster.
Yeah, now Rockets, right?
Yes, not as Ryan Rollins.
Where is he from?
He went to, this is going to kill me.
Prairie View A&M.
It was it's a Maction school.
Oh, really? Okay. So no, it's okay that we haven't heard of him, in other
Kent
words.
State, I want to say. Really good college player.
Maybe we play a little version of Where'd He Go with EJ.
Who he played for?
Yeah.
Wait, really good college player. Were you watching Kent State and Bowling Green on a Wednesday night?
I was taking that NBA draft, trying to figure out.
So this is a YouTube scouting, I would hope. I mean,
Maybe I might watch conference championship or whenever they were.
You said Ryan Rollins?
Yeah.
What Maction school?
I said Kent State.
He went to Toledo, but it's still a Mac school.
Full credit. No, EJ gets full credit for that.
That's a
bullseye. That's close enough.
Where was he drafted?
He was drafted to Golden State. I think they made a mistake just getting rid of him.
Clearly.
They gave up.
They missed him, too. Were they 9-2?
Yeah, they would be Dallas by more points. We would have had Steph yelling to the camera, getting Maggie upset.
EJ is correct. He was drafted, well, technically by the Hawks, but he got traded to the Warriors and played that
NBA draft. You need to be Magellan to figure out where these guys go.
Devin Booker at 31 in the Suns, 121.
Kentucky.
Win in Utah. And the Hawks erased a 15-point second-half deficit to win in Boston, 117-116. The Celtics will probably bounce back from this NBA Cup loss by winning the NBA title again in June.
Can't win unless Steve Kerr decides to, I don't know. Can he bench somebody from 3,000 miles away?
We were told yesterday that Tropicana Field will not be ready to host any Rays games next season. The venue is structurally sound but needs $55 million of repairs because of damage from Hurricane Milton. And NHL history last night at MSG.
Who moved it ahead to the near side? 2-on-1. Kyle Connor with Rasmus Kapari. Connor moving in, shooting! Score! Connor with his team-leading 10th of the year on a 2-on-1. He beats Shesterkin short side, and Winnipeg regains the lead. It's 3-2 for the Jets.
The Winnipeg Jets are the first team ever to win 15 of their first 16 games after a 6-3 decision over the Rangers. Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele each scoring twice. Guys, back to you.
I come in every morning and say, Maggie, what is the deal with the Winnipeg Jets?
He does say that.
It's the most bizarre, underestimated. Like, all of a sudden, the Winnipeg Jets are the greatest hockey team in the 100-year history of the NHL. Okay. Saw that coming.
The only thing about it is it's amazing, but does it bode well? You know, they talk about peaking too early in a season. This would be the definition of it.
Well, it's a high peak, though.
I don't know the history of this, but reading yesterday, the Cavs 12-0. They're the eighth team. Five of the first seven made the finals.
Right.
So in the NBA, it's good to start fast.
Yeah.
I know, but do we really think the Cavs are going to the finals?
Are they the second best team in the East?
Yeah, I mean, they might.
They look really good.
No, I get
it. Like, legit. And I'm a Knicks fan. We usually pound them, but they look good.
I got a guest suggestion. Our buddy Nate Thompson, the former hockey player, took his tooth out on air with us.
Yeah.
He played at Winnipeg a few years ago, and I think he's completely shocked that they're good because it is a small city. So we're going to have him on because we got it. I think that's our new hockey team. We dumped the San Jose Sharks, and we become Winnipeg fans. Who's with me?
Burloff, we can't bandwagon that way.
Oh,
it's
come on.
It's just not right.
By the way, this is where the line is?
We also have Ivan, you guys, so how dare
that's
you
a good point.
Jump off our Avs bandwagon?
That is a good point.
Burloff, I would love to see you in Winnipeg when it's, you know, 40 below in January.
Apologizing to Neil Pionk for dissing his game on the blue line.
Honestly, I mean, just considering Karloff's shade of white, you may have been in Winnipeg.
No. I would love to move to a place like Winnipeg where nobody is tan and I fit in. Yeah.
You can ditch that SPF 100.
Yeah,
you don't
that's
need
a good
it.
Point. Wow, the 2-week summer in Winnipeg is supposed to be lovely.
That's exactly when we should go. Bogish, thanks so much. See you guys on the phone. Got a lot there for you on the table. So apparently you have two poll questions now. Are the Bears more likely to ruin Caleb Williams or develop him? And I think the second poll question we need is, would Jordan have won 6 titles without Scottie Pippen? Is that what we want to do? Could he have found any other Batman? Robin, excuse me?
I agree with Pearl's take, and it seems like the chat does. I don't know if we're saying 6 titles. I think we're saying he'd win a lot of titles.
Well, he might not have quit for baseball and gotten because he wouldn't have done that three-peat. Like, who knows?
Well, he still would have been suspended for gambling, so.
Yeah. Oh.
Here we go.
One of the great sports conspiracy theories. We'll figure out how to win
we'll
this.
Figure it out.
855-212-4227. Basically, the basic premise, Perloff thinks that Michael Jordan would have found any other wingman. Didn't have to be Scottie Pippen. I think that's not the case. I think Scottie was filled that role in the way he was. They needed him. A little Klay Thompson, Steph Curry stuff from last night. Okay, lots to do. Maggie Perloff. Bless the Alan Parsons Project for giving us this gem. It's on every workout mix I have. Question today got on this topic, loosely based on Klay Thompson returning to play the Warriors last night in the Bay Area Chase Center. The impact of wingmen, Robins, if you will, to Batmans. Klay Thompson to Steph Curry, and we start talking about Scottie Pippen to Jordan, which is why Manny played the music. Would Michael Jordan have won 6 titles if he didn't have Scottie Pippen specifically? Let's go to D, who's in Portland. Good morning, D.
Good morning. With the MJ, this kind of hurts because I am a Blazer fan, and just matched up with him and Drexler, that would have been really good to see. But I don't think he would. I think that marriage, as you say, with Pippen and Jordan, I think it fits so well.
Yeah.
That I don't think they would get 6. Also, you guys were talking about Robin. I'm a big DC fan when I was younger. Did you guys know that there's 5 different Robins? Robin number 1, Dick Grayson. 2, Jason Todd. 3, Tim Drake. 4, Stephanie Brown. And 5, Damian Wayne, which is the son of Batman Wayne. You guys, hey,
wow.
You guys always have a great show. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, D.
That proved my point. Robin is easy to find. In fact, there are 5 of them. I'm just looking, like, say they didn't, I know they traded Polonies for Scottie Pippen. In that draft alone, there was like 4 potential Robins. They could have got Reggie Miller, went 11. Mark Jackson went 18. Reggie Lewis went 22. You could have found other Robins. It's like, people say, like, they couldn't do it without Pippen. Like, it's not like they would have just stopped building the roster if they didn't have Pippen. Somebody else would have came in.
No, but, or you could, like, the other way. Pippen filled the role so perfectly that they only had to shuffle things around the 2 of them.
I hear you. No, that's definitely
true.
There's
no chance Reggie Miller was not going to be able to play the kind of defense that they needed.
Yeah, but, I mean, they would have been a whole different animal if they had Reggie Miller. Like, it was, you had to double-team Jordan. So I'm telling you right now, and if you watch some highlights of the Bulls, Scottie Pippen's offensive game, especially the half court, was a little wonky. It wasn't perfect. He was a great defender, but, again, like, how hard is it? You got Michael Jordan.
I mean, that just feels like blatant disrespect.
I mean, no, Pippen was a great player. Pippen probably could have won titles on other teams, too. He was an outstanding player. But I'm just saying, without Pippen, they would have found another Robin. You know, that Stephanie woman that guy just talked about.
Stephanie Brown.
Stephanie Brown.
There's a woman Robin?
Yeah. There's multiple. I mean, for DC canon, quote unquote, he's right as 5. Alternate universes, there are more. But he was on the money.
I mean, I've got questions. Why? But,
I would also say, back to the original point,
yeah,
I think Steph would have won without Klay, because that wasn't just about Steph or Klay. That was about a whole new system that came in the NBA with Steve Kerr and analytics and three-point shooters. I think Steph was a special sauce because he was so far beyond the three-point line. I think he could have won without Klay. And I know that, again, I'm making kind of the same argument.
I mean, I disagree with you again, because I think that you had the perfect combination of Klay being one of the great shooters of all time also, and his ability to play defense, which Jordan played defense and was an awesome defender. Steph is not. Steph is someone who has to be hidden. So in fact, Klay's doing more. And
yeah, but again, like, they could have found some of that. They could have found that production elsewhere, possibly. It's not like, yeah, they could have found, there are other shooters, there are other good defensive wingmen. They would have kept building the roster. And what's different is Steph. Steph is just, there's no other Stephs. There's no other Jordan. They're unique. So that's sort of my argument.
I understand it. I think that Steph needed Klay even more maybe than Jordan needed Pippen, but I still think they both needed those exact guys, without a doubt.
No, I hear your argument. I totally don't see it that way.
855-212-4227. College football's got us angry this morning. What is that committee thinking? They put out some new rankings yesterday. They just don't make a lot of sense. We'll tell you why next.
It became personal with me.